Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. And the good news is God has not changed. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. In this world of change where nothing seems to remain the same, it is very comforting, very consoling, and very wonderful to know someone as wonderful as the Lord, who is, well, I was going to say predictable. Yeah, He is in terms of His character of absolute justice. He's not a sweet, syrupy, you know, sloppy agape God. He is love to a dimension and an extent that we cannot relate to. We've never known the perfection of love, even in the dearest and sweetest of human relationships, whether it's a spouse or parents or siblings. We cannot relate, because we're human. We cannot express and even appreciate the kind of love that our God has for us. But He also is a God of wrath, of anger. He hates sin. He hates wickedness. He hates evil. And a time is coming. You see, unless we have an understanding of who God is, we can't just see Him as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Well, this same gentle Jesus, meek and mild, didn't hesitate to turn around and talk to Peter. His, you know, he was the who he was going to use in a powerful way for the spread of the gospel in the church of Jerusalem. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things of God, the things that be of man." And he didn't mince words. And look how he spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Did he love them? Of course he did. But he was revealing the nature of God. And if a man or a woman hardens their heart, stiffens their neck, and refuses repeatedly. I mean, now, there's times in my own life, and probably in yours if you weren't saved from a child onward, that you may have heard the gospel, you really weren't interested. But you see, God knows how to work on us, as he did in my life. Slowly, I wish it hadn't taken so long, but when I heard the good news, because I was really out in the world for 10 years. And when I began, I heard with new eyes. You see, there's nothing like life experience. The things you think that are going to be so wonderful, fun, satisfying, fulfilling, they're not. Our fulfillment comes in knowing the Lord Jesus. And because He loves us so much, He knows what's going to satisfy the heart of man. He's made you unique, specific, and different from any other human being who's ever lived, beloved brother and sister. You are so unique. We may have similarities, of course we do, but no one is exactly like you. And that means He has an absolute express plan for your life and the different seasons in your life. And so because He loves you, He wants to give you every good and perfect gift. It comes down from the Father above with Him. There is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. This is what He wants to give to His people, to us. And so we have been looking at, started yesterday, talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which occurred on the day of Pentecost. And it is the New Testament parallel, if you will, of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, when it talks about the feast of weeks, if you will, or first fruits. And so Jesus had counseled them to stay, His disciples, to stay in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father came. Well, they were not quite sure what that was, but they were certainly going to obey Him. And chapter 2, let me read just some highlights of it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly Don't you love God? Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together to wonder what was going on and were confounded. They were just amazed because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Now, I've heard some commentators say, well, this was certainly, they were known languages of that day and time. However, there is the heavenly language, which is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit throughout the book of Acts 19, other place where Paul spoke to the Ephesians. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, if they were believers, of course, they already had received the Holy Ghost in terms of being born again. And as he laid hands upon them, they were filled with the Spirit. And remember, Peter, when he went to Cornelius's house, he got a lot of flack, but he realized that the Holy Spirit was being poured out on the Gentiles. This is for everyone, whomsoever will may come and receive of the precious Holy Spirit. It was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised to those gathered in the upper room. And the Feast of Weeks, the Old Testament pattern, if you will, was the Feast of the Harvest or Ingathering Feast. Now, when we look at the book of Acts, we find that about 3,000 souls were saved that day. Well, you talk about a harvest and ingathering, that was the day. And the Bible tells us that Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks followed after the Feast of the First Fruits. And on that glorious day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, when the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled, those in the upper room were inbreathed, if you will, by the breath of God. And that Greek word for spirit is pneuma, and it primarily denotes the wind, and it's akin to pneo, which means to breathe or blow. Remember, Jesus did that to his disciples when he met them behind closed doors. And also, we do know that breath, in other words, as that group of Christ's disciples, they were, and his followers were gathered together in that upper room. It says there were about 120 people. God looked down on them, and as they were in one accord, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, and they were all filled, the Bible states. They, in essence, had opened their hearts as well as their minds in anticipation. They probably weren't exactly certain what was going to happen. And I don't know that that great rushing mighty wind and cloven tongues, I don't know that that has appeared since that particular day of Pentecost, but that promise is unto us and whomsoever will. I mean, it's very clear in the book of Acts, if you're honest and really research it out, the experience that Jesus spoke about to his, and if anything, why just to that time period? My goodness, the persecution that endured for centuries later throughout the dark ages, we absolutely, and in the present time in which we're living, at the end of time, perilous times. You know, Paul spoke about that. He warned Timothy, the perilous times are going to come. If ever we needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need it now. And so those disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled to overflowing. And every cell and fiber of their beings were baptized in the power of God. And they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And God is saying to his people today, I want to bring you into a place of such power and revelation in experiencing the infilling of the Holy Spirit that you will simply just burst into singing in such a joy that can only be understood by those who are walking on the King's highway, those who have had a similar experience. Praise God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said that his way is the way to the most glorious miracle in the universe, which, of course, is the new birth. That's how it all starts. But his way is the way to power unlimited in the Holy Ghost. I mean, look at it. He took a group of cringing disciples who were hiding for fear of their lives, traumatized Jesus had, of course, told them well in advance, but they didn't comprehend it. They thought everything was over. Their Savior, their Lord, was crucified. He was dead, and there was nothing that could be done. I mean, can you imagine the despair and the depression? But he appeared to them, and he let them know there's more coming, and that was the wonderful Holy Spirit. His way is the way for us today, as sons and daughters of God, to enter into that rightful place of ruling sonship, which is our position as Christians. We are the sons and daughters of God. Praise God. And as you take the words of God into your hearts, and as you yield yourself to God, then he will strengthen you to fulfill those words and bring you into that place in which you will feel his presence increased in your life. And I sense with all my heart, I've sensed it in recent weeks, there's such a hunger in your hearts of those who are listening. And God is moving to stir that hunger around the world in the hearts of his people, not satisfied with the same old status quo of days past. We're hungering for a new thing, and he's putting that hunger in his heart, in our hearts. So we will continue on tomorrow. I invite you to join me at the same time. I love you. I invite you to write. This is a personal ministry, and I so love the ministry of correspondence. I feel even some, I've never met some, but I love them with the love that only Christ can instill. And I just throughout the day, sometimes I think of letters that have come in, and I'm praying again for those needs. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of ministries that can say they're still personal, but this ministry has remained. We've been small enough that we can. So I invite you to write the announcer. We'll give our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.